9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Sayre in Elk City, America. Happy Wednesday, everybody. It's the Taylor Ranch happy hour today. Well, I got more on the Taylor Ranch coming up here shortly. Let's check out some temperatures in western Oklahoma. 48 at Hollis, 49 at Mangum, 42 at Cheyenne, 42 at Arnett. Camargo's 43, and who is the coldest in the state right now? Medford. I don't even remember Medford there. 39 at the May Ranch, 40 at Beaver. Out here in the Panhandle, Texas, Canadians 40, Dozers 44, Odell's 42. Okay. I seem out of breath. I'm running a little late today. I get two places broke with ice and one fed. I lost my phone in the cow lot. And luckily my wife was home and we used her phone and my AirPods to find my phone out in the cow lot. Luckily they hadn't pooped on it or stepped on it or nothing yet. But I got it found. That was a 45-minute ordeal. And what else going on? Oh, ice is pretty thick this morning. And, oh, yeah. It's been a few weeks since I grabbed it, you guys, but it's been cold the last couple weeks. We've had two different snowstorms and blah, blah, blah. Guys, we got to do a better job. The hay wrap in the roads are terrible on the roadsides. They're terrible. There's all kinds of homemade remedies to put your hay wrap in. Feed a protein tub on the back of your truck or in the back seat of your truck. I've seen guys fill their front seats up and just empty them. Got 8-10-inch PVC pipe wired on the bottom of your cake feeder or on the back of your headache rack and stuff them in there. Or, you know, or the catch-all. Am I promoting the catch-all? Yeah, because I think it's ingenious. I think it's a great piece of equipment to have on your equipment to put hay wrap in. You can put trash sacks in it. You can put cans and anything, hay wrap, the whole nine yards. Get you a catch-all. Hober Farm and Garden has them. Raised Boots here's got them in town. Back to the main point. Merritt Road looks like country club out there by the dump. Which they keep it cleaned up every day out there in Country Club. But there's nobody cleaning up after farmers and ranchers with their hay wrap on the side of the road. Six Highway between Elk City and Granite. There's hay wrap everywhere. And everywhere I go, there's hay wrap. So please, guys, I don't mean to be your mom about this stuff, but we need to do a lot better job. There was a car pulled over on the side of the road there between Triggers and Highway going to Carter 55 and had hay wrap around the axle, and no telling how much money the counties and the states are out on their shredders and stuff wrapping that up. So please, I'm asking nicely, just keep your hay wrap to yourself. And what you do in your pasture is your business, but out on the highway, it's public and it's county roads. Just please pick it up. I stop and pick it up all the time. I know some other guys that does because they hate it as bad as I do. But let's just do that. So there's my rant of the day. All right, let's see what happened overnight in our big old world of agriculture. Soybeans were modestly lower in overnight trading on some technical selling and favorable weather in Brazil. Investors who were long the market or had bet on higher prices likely sold off some contracts after yesterday's jump in prices as soybean, corn, and wheat futures all surged. Yesterday amid a weaker dollar and concerns about crops in South America. Also weighing on prices is beneficial weather as parts of Brazil. Rainfall expected in the central and southern growing areas will improve soil moisture and boost crop prospects, said Don Kinley, an agriculture meteorologist with Maxar. Precipitation is expected in several states. Still underpinning prices this morning are concerns about weather in Argentina. Some rain is expected in the states of Santa Fe and Entre Rios, I think is how you say that, Entre Rios, this week, and rainfall in northern growing areas will improve moisture, but dry weather will continue in central and the southern regions. Soybean futures for March delivery fell 4 pennies to 10.63 and a quarter a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal lost $2.10 to $308.90 a short ton, and soy oil dropped 0.15 cents to $45.62 a pound. Corn futures declined a penny and a half to $4.88.5 a bushel. Wheat futures for March delivery fell a quarter of a penny to $5.58.5 a bushel, while Kansas City futures were unchanged at $5.75.5 a bushel. Inspections of corn was up week to week, while bean and wheat assessments retreated, according to data from the Ag Department. Corn inspections in the 7 days that ended on January 16th improved to 1.54 million metric tons. That's up from 1.44 the week prior, according to the USDA. That's also well above the 746,000 tons examined the same week a year earlier. Soybean assessments totaled 973,000 metric tons. That's down from 1.36 million and 1.18 same period time last year. Wheat inspections were reported at 261,786 metric tons. That's down from 299,000 tons a week earlier and 315,186 tons same point last year. Since the start of the marketing year on September 1st, the USDA has inspected 19.2 million metric tons of corn for export. That's up from 14.7 million the same time frame a year earlier. Soybean inspections since the beginning of September now stand at 32.3 million tons. That's up from 26.8 million assessed same period last year. Wheat inspections since the start of the marketing year on June 1st were at 13.3 million metric tons. That's up from 10.7 million at the same point a year earlier. Let's see what's going on with the weather in the world of agriculture. Freeze and extreme cold weather warnings remain in effect for parts of eastern Oklahoma, east Texas, Louisiana. See all that snow down there along the Gulf Coast? But they was happy. Temperatures overnight fell as low as 7 degrees in that region. And let's see, extreme cold is also expected in parts of Indiana and Ohio. Wind chills in Indiana likely fell to minus 20 overnight and will remain extremely cold all afternoon. Man, that wind got up this morning. She is chilly out here in western Oklahoma. Out of the north and was out of the south yesterday. It is winter and spring. You know what happens. Cold weather, if not cold, it's going to be windy. What else we got going on here? I got coming up it's that time of the year for the ARC PLC. Got some numbers out there to share with you. Also coming up next segment, I got the Beaver Stockyards report from yesterday. They had a pretty nice sale. And then later on in the show, probably the last segment, I know, especially you get south of here, salt in the ground is can wreak havoc on some of the crops you're allowed to or you want to grow on your ground. Well, I got a segment I want to share with you on kind of like some salt-proof alfalfa that likes salt. How's that? It likes salt ground. So you guys planted on there. I know we had some issues down in there. East to Granite on that ground down there, a lot of that salt came up with the water table, but down in southwestern Oklahoma, I know there's a lot of salt in the ground in the areas down there. But if you want to grow some alfalfa, this might be your shot at it, or the water, irrigation water you got's a little salty and stuff like that. But I'll share that with you coming up later on in the show. All right, let's go ahead and take a Taylor Ranch happy hour break, and we'll be right back after this.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, January 17. 3,648 head were sold. 12 head of steers at 462 brought 400. 15 at 536 brought 328. 14 at 649 brought 283. 10 at 671 brought 287. 5 at 785 brought 269. 11 at 868 brought 251. 6 head of heifers at 435 brought 315. 10 at 516 brought 298. 9 at 577 brought 279. 26 at 762 brought 241, 7 at 764 brought 231, 4 at 940 brought 226, butcher cows were 30 to 150, butcher bulls brought 100 to 166, red cows 1300 to 2825, pairs brought 1900 to 2825, Elk City Livestock Auction 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma, sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign, call Brandon Hick 580-497-6095.
Prescriptions require online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Did you know that 1 in 4 people seeking treatment for ED are under 40? Hims can help. Get started at hims.com/joy. Through hims.com, you can access a full range of treatment options for ED, including daily or as-needed meds through a 100% online process. To start your free online visit and save up to 95%, go to hims.com/joy.
The thing about tires is, it only takes one of them to blow out to stop you right where you are. Good thing Blair Tire comes to you. South of I-40 and west of I-35, nobody has more ag tires than Blair Tire and Feed. They'll have it when you need it. If you're stranded, Blair Tire finds you and fixes it. Getting you rolling again is where they hang their hat. Blair Tire and Feed, Highway 283 and 19 in Blair. All the name brand tires you want. Service that can't be touched.
We do a ton of wholesale work with your mechanic shops, but it's also the DIY guy that has Saturday afternoon off. He comes in Saturday morning, picks up his stuff, and works on his pickup. It's a wide range of people. It can vary from the biggest shop in town to the smallest shop in town to your guy that works in his garage on the weekend.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
You know, I think the best advice that I could give a young couple is to go sit down and talk to an insurance agent. I see a lot of young couples, they're just getting online. I mean, they're just clicking the button and clicking what's cheap. And, well, if I click this, it makes it a little cheaper. But if I click that, it makes it go up. Well, there's a reason why it goes up. You need to know what you're paying for. And if you're paying for it, you need to make sure you've got the right coverage. You know, another piece of advice I would give is when you go in and talk to that agent, you need to discuss getting some life insurance. It doesn't have to be me. Any agent can help with that. But a young couple, you need to go in and sit down and talk to someone and understand what you're doing. You know, a term policy on a younger couple, it's a whole lot less expensive than what people think. And the younger you buy it, the cheaper it is. It's worth finding out how minimal that expense is, because it's life-changing if it's needed. That would be my best advice.
Hey, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. McLean, Texas, it's 40 degrees. The wind chill's 30. Humidity's 32. Dew point 13. The winds are out of the north at 25 miles an hour with wind gusts up to 34. Peak wind gust today, 41 miles an hour. 16/100ths of an inch of rain so far this month. 543 minutes of sub-freezing minutes. 8-inch soil temperature, 36 degrees. That's your ag weather update for the Panhandle of Texas. All right, let's check out the Lipscomb dealerships grain market update. Corn, March, 486, down 4. May is 495, down 4 and a quarter. Soybeans for March, 1057, down 10 and a quarter. May is 1069, down 8 and a half. Soybean meal, March, 315.40, up 440. May is 322.90, up 430. Soybean oil, March, 44.40, down 137. Hard red winter wheat, March, 576, up 3/4. May's up 3/4 too at 586. Cotton for July, 69.73, down 8. West Texas Intermediate crude oil, March, 75.91, up 8 cents. April, 75.10, up 10 cents. Natural gas, February, 3.88, up 12. March is 3.43, up 9. Looks like the NASDAQ, S&P, and all the good old Dow, they're all doing good today. They're up in the green. Looks like the meats are doing good also. February live cattle, 199.30, up 225. April, 199.02, up 170. Feeders for January, 276 even, up 160. March, 271.60, up 435. April, 269.57, up 310. Lean hogs, February, 81.32, up 12. April's down 32 at 86.37. There you have it. Okay, let's see what happened at the big old beaver stockyards yesterday. Looks like they had 2,720 head. Bred heifers, they look like they had 21 head of those. Average weight, 835. Average price, $16.85, 36 per head. Let's see here. Bulls, average weight on the bulls was 1715. Average price, $146.88, 25.19 per head. Bull calves, not much there, but they averaged 1900 a head. Average weight, 790. Cows, let's see here. Let's get there. They had 55 head of cows, average weight 1188, average price 128.56, 1527.61 a head. Heifer calves were 484 weight, average price 323.54, 1565 per head. Yearlings, heifer yearlings, where's the bottom line? There it is. Had quite a few of those. 1,158 head, average weight 655, average price 274.17 per hundred weight, 1796.76 per head. Steer calves, 574 average weight, average price 325.28 per hundred weight, 1865.68 per head. And on the yearlings, there we go. 1,153 head, average weight 750, average price 282.33, average price per head $2,116.26. Let's see what on the steers. Let's see what was going on here. Man, there was some over. Anywhere from 958 to 1,048 weights were bringing anywhere from 245 to 227. So they were $17 short average of bringing $2,400 per head for that. Pretty good stuff. I like it. I like it a lot. And that's from what was happening out at the beaver stockyards. Let's see what I wanted to. I wanted to talk to you guys this a little bit about it. Since it is Taylor Ranch Day, and I'm not making fun of him when I say this, I'm bragging on his brilliance as far as numbers are concerned. But Jimmy Taylor is the Sheldon of numbers as far as I'm concerned, the EPDs and all that, and matching this and matching that. And I seen this, a friend of mine emailed me this from the Farrell Cattle Company, I guess Farrell Cattle Company, however you pronounce that. Anyway, there's a problem with tenderness. Many studies and surveys have revealed that primary complaint consumers have with beef is the inconsistency in tenderness. One study concluded, although customers eat beef primarily because of its great flavor, tenderness is considered the most variable and most important trait. In general, when consumers have a complaint about the tenderness of beef, it's because of the unacceptable tenderness, if that makes sense, I've been a beef producer for most of my life. I've been a beef eater since I was 2 years old. I guess that's when he got his teeth, huh? However, I will not order a steak anywhere outside the PCC genetics that is not a filet, which is a tenderloin steak, or a flat iron. Those are the only two steaks that are almost always guaranteed to be very tender. 80% of the time, other cuts or steaks will provide a disappointing experience. I would rather eat salmon or chicken than a tough steak. I have a theory that is based on an observation and experience. A few of our own subscribers are old enough to have the same observations and experiences. 50 years ago, you could take any critter off the grass and it would be tasty and tender. It's provided a good eating experience. 40 years ago, however, when the beef industry decided we needed to make our cattle as big as we could and as fast as we could. Although the race has moderated a little bit, it's still the only game most of today's beef producers know how to play. As a result of the selection for bigger and bigger weaning weights, cow size has increased by 40%. Carcass weights have also increased by nearly 40%. This has created many problems for cow-calf producers, with lower profits being the biggest problem. It took me several years to connect the dots, but I now theorize that the race to make cattle bigger and bigger has created major problems with beef tenderness. I may be wrong, but I don't think so. Here's part two. As discussed in part one, we no longer deny there is a tenderness problem with today's beef. As a result, I will not order a steak, blah, 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 whether it's the filet or the flat iron. We have a problem. How can we fix it? The status quo beef industry proposed solution to this was to increase the marbling and fat content in the beef carcass by feeding the animal longer. Intense selection for more marbling started 4 decades ago. Up to a point, we all like marbling, but marbling only accounts for a mere 10% of the variation in tenderness. In other words, the correlation between marbling and tenderness is very low. He gave an example here, and this example here says, this picture of this ribeye roll was sent to me by Tim Goodnight, who is a former PCC team member. Tim said, this came from a large frame, grass-fed steer. The ribeye size is way too big. Even so, it looks like it's a $100 piece of well-marbled meat. However, it ate like a $10 piece of meat because it was so damn tough. Had this steer been finished on grain instead of grass, there would have been more excess fat to trim off that's only worth 40 cents a pound, and the steak still would have been tough. Now there's a better way to solve tenderness problem. Frank Hedricks and his team at TNET Beef have created a DNA test that identifies beef animals with the highest level of beef tenderness. I fully believe this will become the biggest game changer in the entire history of the beef industry. Several market studies have shown that consumers are willing to pay much more for beef with known tenderness. Once consumers have access to guaranteed tender beef, most of the beef will average tenderness will be made into ground. There you have it. Well, Mr. Taylor and some other people that I know have already been working on this, and it works. And they take DNA off their calves when they're born, the heifers that they're going to keep and stuff, send that off. They got that record, and then come time to AI-ing or putting a bull with the heifers or cows, they match it. So if one's low in this trade, they can put a bull in there with this that's higher in that trade than normal, and you just get it. It's been working, but it has become a problem because I'm telling you, I've ate at some steakhouses here in the last couple of years that I'm not impressed. I'm sorry. And they're supposed to be steakhouses, and then another thing is that I think is very important to me as far as I'm concerned on our butcher calves is we butcher heifers, and heifers are more tender than steers. A little bit. I'll eat a steer. Don't get me wrong. I'll eat beef off of a steer, so it's not that big deal. But I think, in my mind, I think maybe it's just I'm brainwashed myself that the heifers taste better than the steers do. Yes, the steers will get bigger and you'll have more meat, but back to this tenderness deal. So, all right, I just thought I'd share that with you today because it is the Taylor Ranch Day. So let's take a Taylor Ranch break and be right back after this.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Did you know a cow's energy requirement increases 1% for each degree the cattle comfort index is below 32 degrees? And that energy would double to 2% if the animal is wet to the skin. One way to help with that is feeding them with MaxiGain or Range Max cattle cubes, all available at SEI Agritech in Elk City. Get yours today in bulk or bags. That's SEI Agritech on South Randall in Elk City. And follow SEI Agritech on Facebook for ag news and information on their products.
Do you know Mickey Lively with Oklahoma Farm Bureau Insurance? If you do, you already know this about him.
When people meet me and get to know me, I think they do truly walk away with a feel of, you know what, when that guy says something, he means it. He means what he says. He says what he means. I'm a straight shooter. I'll tell people up front, hey, I might not be able to beat that price. One thing that I always do when I meet with a client or with a new customer, I look over all their insurance stuff. And there are times I hand it back to them and say, hey, you've got great coverage at a great price. If you're not happy with your agent, let's look at making a change. But if you don't have any issues with them, hey, you've got another set of eyes that looked at your policy and you've got good coverage. You don't have anything to worry about. That goes a long way because a couple of years from now, they may have a rate increase. I'm Mickey Lively, and I work for Oklahoma Farm Bureau, and my office is located in Greer County.
Mickey Lively and Oklahoma Farm Bureau in Greer County.
Call 782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
You get in the pickup, get on I-40, and head east toward Oklahoma City. By the time you get to the KOA, you have to pull in and go to the bathroom. Then you get back on the road going east. Near Clinton, you feel the urge again. By the time you get to Weatherford, you can't exit fast enough to find the nearest convenience store. Then you're back in the pickup and on the road again. But 10 miles this side of Hinton, you know you'll have to take exit 101 for another pit stop. Are you a two-stop, three-stop, or four-stop guy between here and the city? Guys, it's your prostate. Medicine might take care of it, or you might need surgery, but you can get relief. Urology Associates, Western Oklahoma. Dr. Cole Wooten and urological nurse practitioners, Tracy Lane and Aaron Doherty. The office is in Elk City at 522 North Main. On Facebook, search Urology Associates, Western Oklahoma. This many bathroom breaks on a road trip is ridiculous.
As a farmer or rancher, you're always looking for ways to save time and money. The Apache Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma will help you do just that. The Apache Hay Wagon eliminates 80 to 90% of hay waste with its unique design. It hauls multiple bales, saving you time and money. Go by Everett's Welding today and ask to see the Apache Hay Wagon. You'll be glad you did. You can also visit them online at everettswelding.com.
I open new accounts, CDs, IRAs, help our customers with online banking, order debit cards, anything that has to do with checking accounts, savings accounts, opening those up for new customers or helping our existing customers with any issues or things that they might have with an account. They want customer service. They want someone to just know who they are, and they want someone that they can trust. I'm Tori Ashpaw, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust at Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, here's your ag weather update for northwestern Oklahoma. Freedom, Oklahoma. It's 42 degrees, feels like 34. Dew point's 23. Humidity's 46. The winds are out of the north at 17 with wind gusts up to 24. 3/100 of an inch of moisture so far in the last 10 days. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 33 degrees. Sunset at 5:50, 41 for a high today. Well, guess what? You're already past that one. 21 and clear tonight. Tomorrow, not too bad. 39 and partly sunny, but the winds will be a little bit less than what they were today. So that's your weather update for out there. Okay. I'm not going to mention his name because he might get in trouble. But one of my listeners says, yeah, tell the tight asses to get a catch-all. We're talking about rap earlier in the show. And then he also suggests to put a hold on your FSA payment on cows till they prove they have a catch-all. Whoa, there you go. It's like, see, you pull that one off. I don't know. Trump's back in office. You probably make a phone call since you and him are buddies. Go up there and visit with him, tell him about that catch-all. Okay, let's see here. Deciphering meat labels. What do all those terms really mean? I seen this in the Beef Daily today, and I want to share this with you. Gluten-free water. She's not sure what that means, but it was an actual claim that Kansas State University assistant professor of sustainable meat science, Aaron Beyer, saw on a water bottle in Australia back in 2015. Wonder what that does mean. While Beyer is not quite sure how that a label this interesting was approved, she does know that many other claims printed on protein products can be difficult for consumers to navigate. To help clear up some of the confusion, Beyer recently joined the Agriculture Today radio program to discuss the definitions of heavily used terms like natural, certified, organic, and provide some context for some consumers. There is more label information today than I think there ever has been, she said. The most basic labeling system for commodity products, though, is the Uniform Retail Meat Identity Standards. Commodity markers, usually accompanied by a barcode and scale label, allow buyers to identify a cut of meat species, the wholesale area which it originated, and whether it's a steak or a roast. The meat industry classifies cuts thicker than 2 inches a roast. I did not know that. I learned something myself. I always wondered about it. I just didn't know. The traditional label that comes on all commodity meat products helps people purchase products for their intended uses, Beyer said. So it's a system used that helps most buyers know they should not grill their roast and should have a low, slow type cooking method instead. Outside the commodity labeling, the branded meat sector has become more popular over the past couple decades and now encompasses more than 75% of the market, according to Beyer. Certified Angus beef stands amongst the most popular brands. Its merchandise must pass through 10 parameters to qualify for CAB status. Like with any branded program, you can look at these specifications up online and learn more about them, she said. A branded meat program usually is associated with premium meat and something in which purchasers have trust that is high quality on the commodity. Is that always true? Maybe not so much, she said. However, they do separate themselves with their brand specifications. However, consumers may find it challenging to discern natural products from naturally raised meat. Beyer said the key to understanding the difference lies in the phase of the meat production they accompany. Natural meat is minimal process post-harvest. There's no artificial preservatives and contains all natural ingredients like water and salt. Naturally raised is about the animal process, meaning it has never experienced antibiotics, growth promotants, or additional hormones. Beyer notes that most meat sold in stores falls under the natural classification. However, not all processors take the time to get their goods approved for the label. On the same note, the USDA prohibits giving certain livestock species like poultry and swine additional hormones, which may puzzle shoppers who see the destination raised without added hormones on beef and label lamb products. There are hormones in all animal products, Beyer said. We produce hormones as living beings, just like animals produce hormones. So nothing is ever hormone-free. Yet producers can tag meat as raised without added hormones if they did not receive hormone implants. That makes sense? Moreover, a certified organic marker takes the requirements for claims like raised without added hormones and natural a step further by including the producers must raise their meat animals using organic methods with feeding organic ingredients. Organic methods are a little vague, but these parameters actually start at the last trimester of gestation with our red meat species and the first day of life for the chickens and turkeys. Beyer reminds protein purchasers, however, that certified organic and other claims do not mean these goods differ in nutrition content nor change in food safety versus products without these labels. You guys learn anything there? I learned about 2-inch roast. Let's see, but I don't know. I think it's you need to read your label. You have your iPhone there. If you think you're getting, they're blowing stuff out of, but that makes sense about no added hormones. So check that out there. All right, let's move on. Let's see here. Oh, let's stir this wasp nest up if you want to. Been quiet about it. Actually, I talked to a friend of mine about it Sunday on the phone about the new rule that kicked in last November 5th on the EID tags. And I will tell you that it's been all quiet. But I'm going to read this with you. The USDA's new ruling requiring the use of electronic identification tags is the official identification for interstate movement of certain classes of cattle and bison went into effect last November. The new final rule is an update to the animal disease traceability rule published in 2013, and the major change is simply that moving forward, official identification tags must be visually and electronically readable. The USDA has determined that the use of the EID tags as official identification facilitates faster and more accurate data collection, which improves efficiency of response activities. The ideal is that the face of the disease outbreak, faster and more efficient traceability should result in less disruption of the national herd and less impact on producers and communities. It's important to emphasize that nothing has changed. And I've said this 100 times. Nothing has changed regarding the classification of animals and whether they do or not do not require official identification. It's hard to get through a lot of people's head that there's really nothing changed. We went from a metal tag to EID tag, and it doesn't mean you have to have a scanner to read it. It's got numbers on that tag, folks. The fallen animals require official identification for interstate movement. Here's one of them. All sexually intact cattle and bison 18 months of age or older. What that means is breeding cattle 18 months older, heifers or bulls. All dairy cattle of any age and regardless of sex, including beef and dairy calves. And I want to point out, I'm just trying to throw all this out here so you know what it is. With them dairy cows, with those EID tags, that's how they've traced it, even though it's got everywhere now. When Texas come up with that and Minnesota had that bird flu in their deal, they're traced was through the EID tags. All cattle and bison of any use for rodeo, exhibition, or recreational events. Exemptions are still in place for cattle and bison under 18 months of age, steers and fixed heifers, and cattle going directly to slaughter. Additionally, Cattle moving from livestock markets directly to slaughter may use back tags and do not need official identification, even if traveling interstate. Cattle may move across state lines directly to an approved tagging site to be tagged. Livestock auctions are often more registered as approved tagging sites. The following are examples of animals that do not require official identifications. Beef feeder calves, fed cattle going directly to slaughter. Market cows, bulls, and direct to market within 3 days and using back tags. Cow and bulls that never leave the state. The 24 rule still allows other means of official identification if agreed on between the shipping state and the receiving state or tribal animal health authority. Specifically, registered brands accompanied by an official brand inspection certificate, tattoos, and other identification methods are still acceptable to a breed association for registration purposes. Animals identified with visual only ID tags before November 5th do not need to be retagged with an AID tag. There you have it. So I contacted, sent a text out to my vet, one of them, and I said, has there been any backlash on the EID tags? And I got a no, sir. I think people like them better, easier to read, in my opinion. So there we have you. Let's go ahead and take a, hey, before we take a Taylor Ranch break, let's talk about them. All cattle are not the same. Just like in people, our genetics determine our traits. Some people are tall. Some people are short. Some people are blonde hair and so on. I threw that short in there. Anyway, it's the same in cattle. Cattle are not the same genetically, especially when it comes to making a good steak. Some cattle just make better steaks than others because they have the right genetics. Taylor Ranch has been working on their carcass genetics for over 17 years to develop animals that excel in both flavor and tenderness to give you that mouthwatering best steak in your life eating experience. They develop every animal as if it were going to be served on their own table. That's Taylor Ranch, selling quarter, halves, and whole beef, third-party verified, all natural and hormone-free, also available. 405-609-4662. 405-609-4662. Let's take a Taylor Ranch break, and we'll be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water Experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water Experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You gotta go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
It helps to work with someone who's been down the same road you're traveling. Someone who knows what you're up against and what you're going through. When it comes to farmers and ranchers, that's us. That's who we are. Our lenders know ag inside and out because we're producers too. We approach it like a partnership. We want to put ag producers in position to be successful. We're very laid back and easy to deal with. And people seem to like that. We think you'll like it too. I'm Marty Maddox. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend farmers and ranchers a helping hand. Member FDIC.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
A bolt breaks on a spring tooth, a harrow, or a chisel. Your work in the field stops. Most people have two choices. Either use baling wire as a temporary fix, or drive 15 miles into town. There's a third option that'll get you back to work in only a few minutes. We'll bring a bolt bin to your place, and we'll keep it stocked for you. Camrock Supply. It's on South Main in Elk City next to Fred's Steakhouse. The website is camrocksupply.com. Staying supplied keeps you in the field, getting your work done.
You've got a business to run and need vehicles to run it. We get it. Let Lipscomb Dealerships help you whether your company drives Chevrolet, GMC, Ford, or Ram. We've got the half-ton and heavy-duty trucks you need to get the job done at Lipscomb Dealerships. Six convenient locations for service across North Texas and Western Oklahoma. Call us today at 800-205-7130. That's 800-205-7130. Or visit LipscombDealerships.com and save more in the country. Lipscomb, good people, great deals since 1979.
If you've got a job that's going to take some heavy equipment and skill, call Johnny Evans at Double J Dozing and Excavating. He specializes in building ponds and making pads for barns and sheds. He'll clear land and trees, he'll make roads, he'll do terrace work, and even fix washouts. Johnny can do most anything that involves a dozer or an excavator. He's ready to go to work in this area, so give him a call or text at 580-339-6854. That's Johnny Evans and Double J Dozing and Excavating.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Let's check out Hollis, Oklahoma for your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update. 42 degrees, feels like 35, the dew point's 13, humidity's 23, the winds are out of the north at 18, wind gust 25, no moisture so far in the last 10 days, 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 37, sunset at 5:58, 48 today, we already passed that one, 23 tonight, and mostly sunny and 44 tomorrow with winds out of the north, northwest at 9 to 15 miles an hour. And there you have it. Okay, where are we at? Salt. Pass the salt. A new breed of crop survives the toughest irrigation challenge. This comes from my email that I get every week from the USDA Agriculture Research Service with the When it comes to irrigation, one of the greatest dangers is salt, the tiny molecule that can wreak havoc on plants' ability to function. Yet some plants, in all their complexity, have developed tools that can help them resist even the challenge. Now, ARS scientists are looking to build on these tools to create new varieties of crop plants that have been have an even greater ability to withstand salinity. In doing so, they may dramatically expand the type and the amount of land and irrigation that can support agriculture. Devinder Sahu, I hope I said that right, is a research geneticist at the Agriculture Water Efficiency and Salinity Research Unit in California. His most recent work includes developing more salt-tolerant varieties of alfalfa. His focus on this key forage crop is no accident. The crops play a critical role in a high-protein food source for dairy cattle. As a legume, it can fix atmospheric nitrogen, therefore improving soil quality. When enhanced salinity tolerance too, the new alfalfa varieties can thrive on degraded lands or even with recycled water, reducing competition with high-value crops for premium agricultural resources. The ability to make use of less than ideal conditions has significant implications. Reoccurring droughts, increased demand for surface water have led to greater reliance on groundwater, often of lower quality. In addition, factors like groundwater aquifer substances and reduced snowpack or further reducing the availability of high-quality irrigation water. As a result, growers are increasingly looking to for alternate or degraded water resources such as treated sewage, runoff from greenhouse operations, selling groundwater. However, these water sources often have high salt concentrations. Developing salt-tolerant crops like alfalfa can help farmers use these degraded water sources in a sustainable way. In developing new lines, Sandhole, I don't know how you say that name, I don't even know. Anyway, we'll go with that. Use traditional plant breeding approaches, beginning with a germplasm collection of 2,700 alfalfa lines, and him and his colleagues chose 12 lines with superior performance, then evaluated them in trials with various salinity levels. Two lines stood out, showing no biomass reduction under salinity levels equivalent to, listen to this, a third seawater. Interestingly enough, while both lines performed well, their gene expression profiles revealed that they did so using different mechanisms for salinity tolerance. To enhance salinity tolerance further, the researchers combined component traits from those lines through breeding and continued to test results generations against water with higher and higher salt levels. Ultimately, they tested the results, resulting new alfalfa lines using real seawater from the Pacific Ocean, and it demonstrated the ability to survive, a result that's impressed and astonished colleagues in the field. The team is already thinking about how to get their results into the hands of some growers. That'd be the best, because I wonder what their production is on this type of alfalfa is the first thing I thought of. Right now, we are focusing on producing sufficient seed for broader testing and potential distribution, he said. We anticipate completing this phase within the next year or two, paving the way to introduce it to the market. What's really important to us is to ensure that these salt-tolerant alfalfa lines are accessible to farmers, providing a sustainable solution for agriculture and saline environments. Importantly, his research on salt tolerance may extend to a wide range of other crops, including cereal crops like wheat and maize, vegetable crops such as tomato, pepper, eggplant, and spinach, legume crops like soybeans, and fruit crops like strawberries, grapes, and almonds. The basic mechanisms of salt tolerance are often conserved across plant species, allowing insights from one species to inform research in others. For closely related species, the genes and pathways involved in salinity stress are likely to be similar. Anyway, I think that's cool. Bring it on. We got a lot more salt in the ground and the water around here in western Oklahoma, especially southwestern Oklahoma, than you guys realize. So I think this is going to be pretty fun. All right, let's see here. What do we got left? Oh, I seen this the other day, and I want to share it with you. Forget about it. You know how I am about peanuts and peanut farmers. So the reports are out that I have here. And the area planted of peanuts in Oklahoma was 19,000 acres compared to 240,000 acres in Texas. And the next highest one above Oklahoma would have been Missouri, 24,000 acres. Harvested areas in Oklahoma in the United States. Let's see here. There's a difference between planted and harvested, if you guys didn't know. I'm sure you already knew. 2025, so there was 18,000 acres harvested in Oklahoma. So it was 1,000 less than it was planted. I think that was kind of the going thing. Like in Texas, they planted 240,000 and harvested 220,000. All right, yields per acre. I'm just going to go through some of these. Texas, 2,600 pounds per acre. They got a lot of dry land peanuts in Texas, if that helps you out any way you're wondering that number so low. Oklahoma was 4,200 pounds. New Mexico was not available. And Georgia is 3,800 pounds. Arkansas was 5,500 pounds. And Alabama was 3,000 pounds. Production. Texas. 572,000. So that'd be what? It'd be 572 million pounds of peanuts. Oklahoma had 75,000. So what's that? 750,000 pounds? Nope. Be 7.5 million. No, 75 million pounds of peanuts. I'm trying to do my math times 1,000 here. Sometimes it's hard. But Georgia just blows everybody out of the water on this deal. They were 3.2 billion pounds. Are they right? Yeah, I think so. You're correct. The music's playing. Starting tomorrow, everybody get ready on Paragon TV. We got Arapahoe Butler and Canute at the West Central Tournament at Swazoo. Thursday, 23rd through the 25th, Merritt, Cheyenne, Raiden, Hammond, the Bi-County Tournament, and then Eric at the Cordell Tournament and Leedy at the Tri-County Tournament. And Big Elk TV, the Washington Tournament, starting tomorrow. More on that tomorrow, or listen to Steve on Sports.
Hello. Here's a station you might like.
This is KECO, Elk City.
The employees, not to report to the White House, but to work from home. While the administration reviews the career government employees commonly referred to as detailees, provide national security and foreign policy advice to the president.